It was a cool fall night, and she had had a long day at work. She ate dinner and then made herself a cup of tea to help her relax. Then she started her computer to see if she had any emails or messages. Sure enough, there was a short instant messenger note. Her heart skipped a beat. It was from him. This was a new relationship. They had known each other for a while in passing, but this time something was different. "How was your day?" he asked. Oh, how many different ways she could answer that question. She didn't quite want to overthink it, but her fingers quickly recounted her day with all of its ups and downs. She waited, and then she clicked send. Wait. No response. Her shoulders slumped. After a minute or two, she could see that he was typing again. And then came the response. "That's cool," he replied. "Wait, what? That's it?" She was a little confused. Did she say too much? What was going on? Probing, she asked another question. "How was your day?" Pause. Another minute or two pass. And then a simple reply. "It was okay. Just a class and then studying." Her mind raced as she tried to fill in all of the gaps. Was he interested in this conversation, or was she trying too hard? Was he busy? Was she bothering him? All of the different questions, so many unknowns. She typed another question. He would pause and then eventually answer. Ugh, did it have to be this slow? Why couldn't he just answer? She was pouring her heart out, and here he was, like, just slowly, methodically waiting. And she was like waiting on every word that was to come, waiting, waiting. She was just so frustrated. Has there ever been a moment in your life where you were waiting on someone else's answer? Where you were waiting on a reply from someone or something, like, and you just needed an answer? Or maybe you were waiting on a word of advice, some wisdom, not knowing how to respond in a specific situation. We wait and wait and wait. And yet the thing that we're waiting for seems to have its very own time frame, and it's certainly not ours. Maybe you've been there, or maybe you're there right now. Maybe you're struggling with an important decision. Do I keep going? Or is it time to change directions? What do I do with this relationship? Is it me, or did I miss something? What is my purpose? Is this job a really good fit for me? Or should I try harder? Or there's just so many questions where we are struggling. And all of us have moments in our lives where we feel like we are waiting on someone or something. And the longer we wait, the more we feel unsure of ourselves. And then the questions begin to come. And all of this just because we need a word. Someone to speak loud and clear. Someone to give us clarity. Just a word. One of the things that I love about Scripture are there are stories of God doing the impossible. Where God shows up in ways that are just absolutely inconceivable. What some of us would call a miracle. And the Bible has a way of reminding us that this feeling is a part of the human story. You see, Scripture is telling us that we need something bigger. Something bigger than us to help guide us on our way. And that one is God. And so if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them up and to follow along as we read from the story from Numbers chapter 22, where we'll read an amazing story about a man and his talking donkey. Now, if this is one of those stories that is just amazing, and I love to tell it, but I have to tell you, this is one of those stories that as a middle school boy, I liked far better in the King James Version because I would laugh and snicker every time they used the word ass for donkey. But since this is YouTube and I don't want the algorithm to censor us in this video, I'm just going to stick with the NIV version. But in Numbers chapter 22, we hear this story. And Israel is getting ready to enter the promised land. And we pick up the story there in verse 1. Then the Israelites traveled to the plains of Moab and camped along the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was terrified and filled with dread because of the Israelites. Let me just take a break here. And so Balak was the king of Moab, and he summons Balaam, who was a sorcerer and a prophet. And he says to him in verses 5 and 6, he says, "A people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the land and have settled next to me. Now come and put a curse on these people, because they are too powerful for me. And perhaps then I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed." Now, skipping down to verse 12, we pick up the story, and God said to Balaam, "Do not go with them. You must not put a curse on these people because they are blessed." He's speaking of the Israelites there. And so Balaam refuses to go with them. But King Balak was undeterred, and so he sent another powerful, more influential delegation with more money to try and convince Balaam to come. And so that night, Balaam prays, and that night God came to Balaam and said, "Since these men have come to summon you, go with them, but do only what I tell you." I added emphasis there because we're going to see that phrase come up again. And so picking up in verse 21, we see this. Balaam got up in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the Moabite officials. But God was very angry when he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. And Balaam was riding on his donkey. And his two servants were with him. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, it turned off the road and into the field. And Balaam beat the donkey to get back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path through the vineyards with walls on both sides. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it pressed close against the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat the donkey again. Then an angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it laid down under Balaam. And he was angry, and he beat it, this time with his staff. And then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made a fool of me. If only I had my sword, I would kill you right now." Let me just pause there for a moment. Narcissism makes it all about us, and here he is angry at the donkey. Verse 30. The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey?" In essence saying, "Aren't you the one that taught me? Which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "No," Balaam said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. And so he bowed low and fell face down. Angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me." Then the donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If it had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared it. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned. I did not realize that you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you are displeased, I will go back." The angel of the Lord said to him, "Go with the men, but speak only what I tell you." So Balaam went with Balak's officials. Now, I just want to stop there for a moment because I want you to see what's going on. The story goes on, and Balak commands Balaam to prophesy, and Balaam does. But instead of cursing, he obeys the Lord and speaks blessings on the Israelites to the dismay of the king. And then the king tries multiple times to try and get him to curse them, but it never works. Now, contrary to the plain reading of this text, this is not a story about just one donkey. The text is setting us up to see three donkeys. And so I want us to see the three donkeys in this passage. And the first donkey is Balak, the king of Moab. You see, this king thinks that God can be bought. He fears Israel as they have moved, as they are moving towards the promised land. And multiple times he tries to get Balaam to curse Israel. You see, we are in dangerous territory when instead of getting on God's side, we try to get God on our side. And it's so easy to see in Balak the king. And yet, how many times am I a real donkey and try to do this to God? How many times do I try to get God on my side? God, please forgive me for all of the times that I am like the donkey king Balak. Then there's a second donkey, Balaam, the sorcerer and prophet, who doesn't see God and just instead makes assumptions. And you know what assumptions do, right? But let's dig into a little bit more about Balaam. Balaam isn't Jewish. He's not a follower of the Jewish people, right? But he did know about Yahweh, and he knew that God was a powerful God. However, he didn't think that God was the only God. And so he had these kind of mixed motives multiple times in the story. And we know this because later we see him, Balaam, reappear in Numbers 31:16, encouraging the Israelites to intermarry and to worship foreign gods. But in this story, he eventually does the right thing. But the story of Balaam is the story of a man who is often reckless, full of mixed motives, and so many conflicting different ideas. The Bible reminds us of this because it tells us that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, in Matthew 6:21. And the Bible reminds us of this because you could sum Balaam up as saying that he is a fan, but not a follower. He wants to follow God and money at the same time. He wants to follow, but only when it's convenient. And this is why God has to remind him three separate times to say only what I tell you. Now, it's really easy to look down on Balaam, but he's in scripture for a reason. Because how many times am I just like the donkey Balaam? How many times do I have mixed motives? Oh, and how many times have my mixed emotions caused me to be reckless or have gotten me in trouble? But just like Balaam, I need to be reminded to see what is most important and what is right in front of me that I can't see. I need to be like this. I need to be forgiven and set on the right path. But then there's a third donkey, the donkey, the main donkey, the hero of the story, steadfast, just simply doing the next right thing with no fanfare. The donkey sees the angel. The donkey does the right thing even when rebuked. The donkey speaks a word of truth to Balaam. And you have to admit, it's hard to speak truth to power, especially if you know you're going to get beat for it, right? Now, this is the donkey that we are supposed to be, humble and obedient. Humble and obedient. This is who we are supposed to be in this story. Now, this is a great story, and it really fits with this sermon series that Pastor Mike is leading us through on things being inconceivable, because it's asking us a question. Do you believe in miracles? This story is hard to believe. You might be thinking, yeah, but donkeys don't speak. Yeah. That's the key to this whole story. And they knew that 4,000 years ago, right? This isn't the movie Shrek. The whole point of the story is not about a talking donkey, but that God was speaking through the donkey. And so the real question of this passage is, does God still speak? Does God still speak? This is the miracle. And I don't really care if you think a donkey can speak or not. This is a biblical story that is getting to the point. It's getting to the heart of the matter. Do you believe that God still speaks? Do I believe that God still speaks? And the Bible is clear with a resounding yes. And this is the point that skeptics say, no. No, donkeys don't speak and God doesn't either. Or maybe this morning you aren't antagonistic towards the gospel, but your logic and your right brain, left brain makes it feel weird and it feels too much like hocus pocus. And it's okay if that's where you're at. I've been there too. But let's keep pressing in and keep looking at more of what this story reveals. Or maybe you aren't a skeptic, but mentally you are still struggling and you're saying, well, maybe you feel like, yeah, sure, God still speaks, but he just doesn't speak to me. I've never experienced it. And that's okay if that's you, but I do believe that God has something that he wants for you today. Because God still speaks, right? And now, if this is also something that I do want to say as a side note, you know, that what about those moments when God is silent in the midst of a difficult time? I do want to say as a side note that that's a very valid question because there are times in Scripture that God was silent. And there's been times in my life where I've experienced that. And in Scripture, sometimes it even goes on for years. And there are times where pain and things like that get in our way, especially for us after we lost our son. But Scripture is also clear that God can and does speak if we keep waiting for him. And if there is silence, it's okay to lament, to let the grief out, and then keep waiting, for God will speak. And so let's take a moment to just give a quick overview of God speaking in the Bible. There are so many examples of this all throughout Scripture, and this is not an exhaustive list, but just a couple to kind of prime the pump. There are moments where God spoke to Moses through the burning bush in Exodus 3, or where God spoke to Elijah, not in the storm, but in the gentle whisper in 1 Kings 19. There is where the angel speaks to the women at the tomb in John 20, 11 to 18. There's the moment in the early church where they came together and sought discernment. And the Bible says in Acts 15, 28, it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. And we see that God speaks through the Holy Spirit and God speaks through people, through community. God also reminds us at numerous points that God speaks through his word. And that God speaks through the Holy Spirit and in prayer. There are so many examples of God speaking in Scripture, and rarely is it the same way. But over and over and over again, God is speaking, speaking, and speaking. And so maybe the question is, how can I hear him speak today? Eugene Peterson in the Message Bible, in his translation of Matthew 11, 28 to 30, says this: are you tired? Are you worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. This is the way that God speaks to us as we walk with him. It's not something that we have to put on or try or force, but it's the unforced rhythms of grace where God will begin to speak to us. God will speak if we open ourselves up to him. And so there may be some things that we need to do, like silence all of the stress and worry, or silence the voice of the enemy. Satan, who will try to lie and steal and kill and destroy and condemn us. And then invite God to speak. Say, God, I want to hear what you have to say. And then listen. Read Scripture. Talk to other Christians and mentors and leaders. Enjoy art and nature, and we will begin to sense God's Holy Spirit speaking to us. It may not be in an audible, loud, booming voice. Each time and place can be different. But there are many tools that we can use to hear and understand God speaking to us. And there are many ones that have been used throughout history, like the Wesleyan quadrilateral. I know that's a big word. It just means that there are four different ways that God sometimes speaks through us, through experience, reason, church tradition, and through the foundation of it all, Scripture. But there are many ways that God speaks and many different tools that we can use. But Scripture also shows us that God can speak through anything, even a donkey. The key is keep seeking God, keep listening, for God has spoken and God will speak again. The truth is, God still speaks. And so maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, man, I've just got questions. And so I want to ask a couple questions to us. What if God wants to speak to you, to tell you that you're loved, forgiven, and that he has a purpose for your life? And what if he also is here to listen to you? What would you want to say to him? And what would you want to hear from him? What would you want him to say? What situation do you want wisdom for? Maybe it's something at work. Maybe it's a relationship. Is it about your finances? Maybe you doubt yourself and you just need wisdom to know if you're on the right track. Do I keep going or do I change course? There are so many things, but a word from God in season, in the right moment, is so incredibly powerful, and God wants to be the one to speak to each and every one of us. And what if this isn't just about God speaking once and done, like you're loved and then we never hear from him again, but what if it's all about a relationship, right? And I believe that that's what God wants to speak to us, to walk with us, just like he did in the very beginning when he created us and who he created us to be. In Genesis, we see God walking with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day, walking and talking in relationship. And God wants to do the same with me and with you and with us here today, to talk with us, so that he can prevent us from being reckless, just like Balaam, before we do something stupid. And what if God wants to give you wisdom so you don't wind up making a donkey of yourself? I mean, I've done that many, many times in my life, right? God wants to prevent us from being our own worst enemy. The truth is, if God can speak through a donkey, then he can speak through me. And that means that he can speak to each and every one of us, right? The goal is not to be like the clueless men in the stories, or to be like me, because, well, I've been known to be a donkey many times, right? This is what God wants to do in and through us, to stir us, to draw us into his presence, and to build a relationship with us where he's helping Scripture to come alive and where we can begin to understand it and to apply it to our lives in the situations that we find ourselves in. I want to circle back to the story that I opened with, and you may have already figured this out, but the story at the beginning was from when Jen and I first started dating. And I was in seminary living in Boston, and she was working at a hospital in Lancaster. And in my wisdom, I thought I had this great idea to read a page or two in between every time I typed a response on my computer. This way, I stayed focused and motivated in my academic work. You see, unfortunately, my life hack, my study, had very unintended consequences. The girl that I was very interested in was getting all of the wrong messages because I was waiting like an idiot, right? Here she was waiting on every word, thinking that I was uninterested. Now, I don't bring up this story to cause my wife to relive all of her early dating trauma, right? But to help us ask this question. What if maybe instead of us being in Jen's shoes as the one waiting on God, What if we flip the story upside down? What if we're really the oblivious ones? And God is the one who is waiting on us. Don't you see how desperately our Heavenly Father wants to be in relationship with you and with me? He created us. He sent His Son to die for us. He is just waiting to speak to us, to tell us that we're loved, we're forgiven. If we just accept His message and His truth, we are redeemed. He wants to speak to us. He is not silent. If only we would slow down enough to see His heart and allow Him to speak a word of life that will forever change us, forever change me. I want to challenge you today as we wrap this up. I want to challenge you, first and foremost, don't kick the donkey. There may be so many things in our life that get in our way, and we so quickly get frustrated, not realizing that God is at work all around us, if only we would listen. Secondly, don't be the donkey. Don't be the first two donkeys, I should say. I mean, we should be the hero donkey. Just don't be like Balak or Balaam, who seem to always get it messed up, right? Don't be the donkey, but instead, let's be those who watch and listen for God to speak this week. I believe that God wants to speak to each and every one of us. And I know that that may seem a little bit far-fetched or inconceivable, but miracles do happen. Scripture is clear that God wants to speak to us, if only we will watch and listen this week. And so my challenge is, let's create some space where we will watch and listen to what God may say to us all around us. That wisdom comes from the very mouth of God. That's a paraphrase of Proverbs 2:6. It is so true. God is speaking, and He wants to give us His heart and a message for us. He still speaks, and He wants to speak to you today. So if that's you, if that's the place that you're in, I invite you as we close in prayer to just say, open your hands and say, God, I want you to speak to me. Let's pray. God, I want you to speak to me. I need you to speak to me this week. For the things that I face that I don't understand. For the things that I think that I know that, like Balaam, I really don't always know what's going on around me. God, open my eyes. Help me to see. God, speak to me, whether it's through a donkey or whether it's through scripture or a variety of other things. God, speak to me this week. Remind me of your heart and your love for me. Open me up to your truth and to your way. God, I want to surrender to you, not just when it's convenient, but all of the time, that I would faithfully follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as you go this week, my prayer and my blessing for you is that you would see God show up in amazing ways, drawing you into His truth, into His scripture, and ultimately into His heart. May you be blessed and have a wonderful week. God bless.